Hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. This is Paul from Marion, and as always, thanks so much for joining us today on the Drivecast. We're going to dig in here in chapter one of Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, depending how you want to look at that. You can dig into several different things there. I spent quite a bit of time on Sunday setting this book up. There is so much here. And frankly, at the beginning of last week, and I'd been, you know, sort of keeping an eye on it over the past couple of weeks prior, but I really hadn't fully engaged with this book in this way, you know, and had to sort of wrap my head around what's the purpose here? What are we doing? And I read Pastor Dan from Worthington, his manuscript earlier in the week, and he had this incredible illustration about a 3D model, and I'm not going to ruin that for you. I hope he maybe shares it in his Drivecast. It's incredibly helpful. I used another illustration to sort of set this series up, thinking about a pair of glasses, and within a single frame, depending on your vision, depending on your eyesight, you might have a single lens or you might have a bifocal. You might have a lens within that single frame that helps you see far away and another one that helps you see near. Different prescriptions. And I use that as a way to talk about, I think, the purpose in the book of Song of Solomon. There is the nearness of our personal relationships and the wisdom that this book gives us in how to navigate relationships. This one specifically talking about marriage, but there's also then incredible wisdom that talks about singleness, or it allows us to then talk about what if you were married and you are no longer for a variety of reasons, whatever it may be. So much wisdom. This is within the wisdom literature tradition, within the wisdom literature style and being poetic. And so there's that. That's the nearness. And hear me say this. Christ is nearer than anybody. And yet, that often almost seems far away. And so that's where that second element of that bifocal illustration comes in. The marriage relationship, says the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5, is this profound mystery that ultimately points us toward Christ in the church. It's an example. And so we engage with this physical relationship that teaches us and points us toward the ultimate spiritual relationship with Christ. And so we worked through that. And in that, I think it's helpful to look at a few verses here in Song of Solomon in chapter 1. I'm going to read 2 through 4 for us. It says this, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is poured out. Therefore, virgins love you. Draw me after you. Let us run. The king has brought me into his chambers." And then we get a new voice. After that was the woman. This chorus of people says, "We will exalt and rejoice in you. We extol your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you." And the question, I think, becomes for me, why? Why are they so excited about this guy? Why is she so excited about this guy? And why do the others agree with that excitement? And I think this is talking about multiple wives here. I think this is another crowd of people saying, yeah, we agree. He's awesome. There's nothing here that speaks about his appearance, which I think is the first thing that we often want to curate, to cultivate. We want to have people see us in a certain light. The affection and the love, while he might be very good looking, we don't know that. But what we do know is what verse 3 says, "Your name is oil poured out. Therefore what? Your name. Therefore virgins love you." So this connection to his name, there's this beauty of his name. Now, us, is that like a name that sounds really, really cool? No. we think of names and we often think what sounds good or maybe what has the same initial or maybe a family name, and that can all be right, fine, and appropriate. But in ancient Hebrew culture, a name was really the embodiment of who a person was. We see God's name as the embodiment of his character. It's who he is. There's so much within a name. And I think the same thing is being said here. I think your name being poured out like oil is this sweetness, this goodness. Who you are is the beautiful, not just physically, we don't know, person, wholeness of person who is good and right and honorable. And I think that's really what this woman is in love with, this person. From a point of application, it's needing to ask ourselves, God, make me into a person that is more like Jesus, because Jesus is ultimately the one who is ultimately lovable. God, am I desiring affection from others based upon how I look, or do I receive the affection of others simply because of the character that you've given me and the character that I desire? Like, what are we longing for there? Who do we long to be? Who are we? Why do we receive affection from others? Or perhaps why don't we? If we feel as though we are outcast, if nobody cares for us, number one, be reminded that God loves you and God has chased after you and God desired a relationship with you so deeply that he chose to die for you. So let me just say that. And yet sometimes I think in our personal close-up relationships, we can push a lot of people away. We can do a lot of hurtful things. And so we got to ask ourselves, who am I? And so maybe for you this morning, that's really the question you need to ask. How does God need to make me more like Jesus? How can I be conformed, as the scriptures say, into the image of Christ, being made more like him day by day? What is that for you? Maybe you've got an anger issue. Maybe you've got a lying and deception issue. Maybe you've got a self-loathing issue. Maybe you have a problem in putting others down to make yourself feel better. What's God need to root out of there so that your character is more aligned with Christ? And that then points us to the second lens here of just seeing, like, God, make me more like you. I want to be more like you, because you are ultimately the lovable one. You are ultimately the one that all of my affection can go towards safely. And so help us to do that, Lord. We'll say thanks again for joining us on the Drivecast today. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Let's go to God and ask him, Lord, reveal to me what needs made more like you. Father, we do ask that. Make it known what needs to be rooted out, and so you can make us more like you for your glory, for our good. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.